This is the Steve Cochran Show for a Thursday. Dave Eddett here. Steve Grzanich is over in our beautiful new palace at 303 East Wacker. Mary Vandeveld is there.
And the sun is coming up. And this is the first morning in like a week that the sun shined this early in the morning. Because it's been so dark and cloudy.
It's been gray and gloomy.
Yeah,
and
so I'm like, oh boy.
But not yesterday. Yesterday.
Later.
All,
yeah.
Yes.
Dave, guys, I have to tell you, this morning's sunrise, and I posted it on my Instagram and Twitter feed, was there were five different colors of gold and yellow. It was the most amazing sunrise I've ever seen.
You know, this was, Steve, the first morning we're driving in, and this was a little after 4 o'clock, where you actually see the sky getting bright at that hour.
Exactly.
And you saw the first cracks of dawn a little after 4 o'clock. I wish it would stay this way all year. I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But we don't need... It's just so nice when you're getting up at the hours at which we all awaken.
Yeah. When I was leaving, our house lights on the outside are on timers. And today was the first day where I like them to stay on till I leave because I don't like to go out in the pitch dark, you know, pitch black. And today was the first day where I felt embarrassed that all of our outside lights are on and it's so sunny out when I leave, like, so I'm going to have to adjust
change
it.
The
well,
timer, yeah.
You know, as I was driving in, I almost veered into the other lane of traffic looking at the sunrise sun coming
That's
in.
That's a problem.
But it, I mean, I tell you, it was so unbelievable. The sky was just so many different colors.
Well, and you guys have a great view of it up there, and we'll be joining you there in just a couple of days. Right now, why don't we get to the top six at six?
To get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one on the top six at six. It probably isn't item number one for you, but it's item number one for me and for my family, my wife. Our dog got skunked late last night.
Oh, no.
Didn't this happen before, Dave?
It happened 2 years
Dave.
Ago.
Oh,
happened 2 years
Dave.
Ago.
Oh. Wasn't there a partial skunking last year?
Yeah, it was a little less of a skunking than this one was.
Oh,
this was a full-blown skunk encounter right around. Hey, all I know is the White Sox game was just ending. I was just dozing off.
Oh, no.
And then my wife called me from downstairs and said, I think we just got skunked, and sure enough, poor little guy got totally inundated with skunk stink.
Okay, so this has never happened to me, and how do you deal with it? How do you even begin to deal with it?
Fortunately, well, you've got the chemicals, right?
I have the chemicals. Fortunately, we saved them.
Yeah.
I saved the recipe
from
last time.
Is it a kit? What do you buy?
No, you just have to buy the ingredients. And thankfully, we have them. Hydrogen peroxide.
Write this down, kids.
Hydrogen peroxide, baking soda.
Baking soda.
And then dishwasher liquid.
And then you put it all...
You mix it all together and you bathe him in that, or you rub the dog, you rub that on the dog. And then our friends at Fresh Wave, Steve, remember
yes.
last time this happened, they sent me an anti-skunk kit, which
right.
included a pet shampoo, which we used on him last night, and it did the trick beautifully. And so everything's fine. You feel
how
so
skunked were you?
Not so bad this time. I didn't pick him up. Neither did my wife.
What did you do? Put gloves on?
Well, yes. And Karen did most of that.
Well, he's very furry, as are you, Dave.
Yes.
I'm curious, does the skunk kit also come with like a decoy skunk, like a Pepe Le Pew that just bounces off to try to veer
the...
That's
a great idea.
That's a great idea.
That's
boing,
really
boing,
like
boing,
a Pepe
boing,
Le Pew
boing,
that would just be tossed out in front.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, it gets in their eyes and it makes them crazy. It must really burn. And he was rubbing his eyes on the garage floor. We put
but
in the
yet
garage
the instinct still is there to protect the homestead. And if a skunk is nearby, Ozzy will protect no matter how much his eyes get skunked.
He went into the corner of the yard. And I think he was chasing a rabbit, right? It was no rabbit.
Based on this being the second skunking of you, I now have a new name for you. And Sandberg, please make a note of this. Crocodile Innit.
Okay.
Crocodile Innit, because you and the wildlife are one.
Okay. This wasn't exactly something. I would bet that we have a lot of listeners who have encounters with skunks, and their dogs have encounters with skunks all the time.
Yeah, they're
all over.
You're really famous, and when you get skunked, it's news.
I think last year they kept reporting on the news that we were like at an all-time high of skunks.
Yeah.
So are they predicting that again this year?
Let's go live to Steve in the newsroom. Steve, what's the status on skunk predictions?
An 80% chance of skunks, Steve, just in from the WGN Chicago Weather Center.
We've tabulated that.
Right.
Because I'm saying that the weather department is handling that stat.
Right.
Because we have skunks everywhere in our backyards, but the skunks were even like at the Oakbrook Mall last year, like just hanging out in the fountains.
They
and
were
things.
Shopping.
We might add that it's going to be less smelly near the lake. By the way,
well, that's why the weather's handling.
I think what we need is a skunk turn-in program.
Oh, really? Where you turn in your skunk pictures. In exchange?
You get a raccoon. Certificate.
Yesterday, raccoons. Today, skunks.
Yep. In case, instead of, would you get like a building climbing situation with
perhaps.
A raccoon?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Well, listen, we're just glad you and Ozzy are okay.
Thank you. We are.
Time for the six.
Oh.
That was
number our number one.
That's the number one.
Sorry.
Is that all of them?
No, we started with
five more to go.
According to Dave, that's all of them.
That was the only one I really cared about, Steve.
Seemed like the one that is most important, to be honest. All right, here we go. Chicago has tapped Elon Musk's Boring Company, and it's not a company that's boring. It's a company that makes stuff that drills deep into the earth to build high-speed transit tunnels that would tie the loop in O'Hare. It's a big deal. It's a lot of jobs. Is the deputy mayor joining us later?
Yes, he is. 7:50.
Okay. He'll give us some details on that. Now, Quackney. A military coalition led by Saudi Arabia and the UAE attacked the Yemeni port of Al-Hadouya yesterday, exacerbating a crisis. The UN says 8 million people are at risk of starvation. Yemen is a nightmare. It doesn't get talked about, but it is almost as bad. Well, it may be as bad as Syria. Not a lot of news coming out of there as well, because it's not safe for journalists to be anywhere near it. Next. Carjackings continue to spike. Juvie's share of arrests for the brazen crime continues to rise sharply as well. Through May 20th, those under 18 accounted for about 6 out of every 10 arrests, up to 35% for all of 2016. In so many cases, these are kids trying to make a gang, trying to show that they have the guts to do the deed, and they don't know what they're getting into. They don't know the long-term ramifications of it. They're kids, and they're a mess. The harder laws about this to send a message are coming, and in many places are already in place. Next, deadline for people to leave Lower Wacker homeless encampment set for Friday. The Lower Wacker homeless encampment, this is the one just off Lower Michigan Avenue?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And where are they going? What are we doing? What are we doing with these people?
I don't know. And I know people say for safety and things, those people never bother you.
I drive through there every morning. Every morning. I drive through there every day. When I leave, I drive by there. I have never had an incident.
No, they don't even interact with anybody, so I don't really understand the problem.
Well, again, a lot of homeless folks, no matter what the horrible thing might be going on in their life, they want to go to the shelters because they've either heard that they're bad or they've had an incident there that they're not safe. We got to figure this out.
We also have to figure out this weekend is going to be record high temps. It's not safe for people, so...
And if you turn them out from Lower Wacker, where are they going?
Going to be sheltered? I don't know.
And yeah, I mean, I go by that same, the triangle, every day. And the only thing is, it is very messy situation because I don't know, there's stuff all over the place. But they clean it up by like 6 o'clock because everything is gone on my way home.
Well, I also don't think the trash
and everything that's laying around in there. There's
Lower
needles,
Wacker,
there's a few things.
Yeah, but Lower Wacker is not a tourist attraction. There's ways to clean this up. And
they do. They clean it up by every day by, 6 o'clock.
But I'm saying clean it up in a big picture. There's ways to clean this up and make it better for everybody. I don't have the answer.
And the city is supposed to be now, with this latest move, they're going to fence it off so that people can't get back in to the triangle.
But again, where are they going?
Which still leaves the problem, where are they going to go?
And this, preparing for higher borrowing costs for cars, credits, home mortgages, and more. The Federal Reserve increased interest rates yesterday for the second time in a year. We also, as a bonus item, have three big days coming up. Today, the IG report comes out about Hillary Clinton and emails. Tomorrow is the end of the deadline for Michael Cohen's attorneys and representatives to decide what of Donald Trump's personal papers and his personal papers are fair game for court and what aren't, and the judge gets to go over those. And I've already forgotten what Friday's was. We'll come back with more in a moment.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Nick DiGiulio joins us now. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine. We always like to go over what your parents saw with you. Nick has a nice tradition where each weekend he sees a movie with his parents. Dave's tradition is different. He gets skunked with his dog, Ozzy.
Yes, I do.
I think you're a winner in that equation. All right, what'd you guys see?
Saw a couple of movies on Saturday of last week. We saw Ocean's 8, mm-hmm. The new heist movie with Sandra Bullock and Kate Blanchett and Anne Hathaway and a host of other great actresses. And all three of us really enjoyed it. My parents, you know, had a great time with it. It's not, you know, any kind of groundbreaking thing, but it's a good heist movie, and it fits in really nicely with the Ocean's movies that George Clooney led.
Where does it rank now? If you put all four together, where would you put this one?
Third out of the four. I would put 11, 13, 8, 12.
And 12 is a distant, 12 is a distant fourth.
Yeah. So 12 is the only bad one. The other three are really actually very entertaining movies. And this is really great. I mean, you know, there's a lot of really fun performances in the movie, and I think Anne Hathaway just has a blast in it. She kind of steals the movie in terms of performance. But the stuff between Cate Blanchett and Sandra Bullock is very, very similar to the really funny stuff between Brad Pitt and George Clooney. That relationship is very similar, and they do a great job with it. It's fun. It's a fun movie.
You know, you do a nice job always on the Nick DiGiulio show with the list, the various lists, because we live in a list culture. Did you see the mental floss list on the greatest actors and the worst movies they ever made?
I think I did. I haven't done it on the show, but I mean, a lot of good actors have been in terrible movies.
Tom Hanks. Can you tell me a terrible movie Tom Hanks was in? I'll give you a clue. The worst movie.
You don't have to give me a clue. I can say it.
Okay.
Bonfire of the Vanities.
No, that's one. Bonfire of the Vanities. What was the one with the birthday party, frat party thing when he was...
Bachelor Party.
Bachelor Party, was that it?
Yeah, Bachelor Party.
Nope, The Lady Killers. The Lady Killers.
Oh, yeah, that's a terrible... And it's also, if you were going to put a list together of great directors who made bad movies, that's a Coen Brothers movie.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's a remake of a great Alec Guinness film from the 50s. And the Coen brothers directed it, and Tom Hanks was the star of it, and it was awful.
You think of all the great people in the new Oceans movie. How about a film more from this list? Jake Gyllenhaal in Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
Oh, unwatchable. Unwatchable.
Daniel Day-Lewis, maybe the greatest actor, technique-wise, deliverance-wise. Daniel Day-Lewis in Nine.
Can I guess? Oh, I was just going to say, can I guess Nine? Yeah.
Yeah, I see you knew that. You see that coming.
Yeah.
All right, give me Anne Hathaway's. You know Anne Hathaway's? Because there's a lot to choose from here.
Anne Hathaway's worst movie. I would say Les Mis. That's just me.
One Day. I didn't even remember this film. One Day, by the time this flat, excruciatingly predictable film reaches its drawn-out, melodramatic, and unintentionally comedic ending, we not only stopped caring about Emma and Dexter, we were actively rooting against them.
Wow, I didn't see that. I didn't even know that existed.
Armie Hammer, I know you'll get this one.
Lone Ranger.
Yeah, done. Absolutely.
Yeah, awful.
Kate Winslet.
I would say the last Woody Allen movie, Wonder Wheel.
Done. Look at you. Well done. Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett.
Too many Cates. I'm getting confused.
Bandits?
I would go with Bandits over this. I didn't hate this movie, but critics sure did. The Monuments Men. This is the one about World War II.
Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah.
Art theft.
No, I didn't hate. Oh, you know what it should be? Actually, I just thought of it now. It should be the fourth Indiana Jones movie.
Ah, good point. Yeah. How about Jennifer Lawrence?
Jennifer Lawrence. Oh, the crazy neighbor, scary, stupid house at the corner movie.
That's actually the title of the film. But the one the critics came up with was Passengers, just from last year.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad movie. It's her and Chris Pratt. Yeah, it's a bad movie. But
it's a love story in outer space where they have outer space sex.
Yeah, it's a terrible movie. But the other one that she did was like this really terrible horror movie called like The House at the End of the Block. It's
right.
Awful.
Right. Do you remember Suburbicon?
I do. That would be Matt Damon's worst movie.
That's exactly right.
You know who directed that movie?
No.
George Clooney.
Oh, did he really? Oh, I didn't know.
Yes, he did.
Didn't know that. Ryan Gosling did a movie called Stay in 2005 that made the list.
Oh, terrible. Terrible movie.
Natalie Portman did something called Your Highness in 2011. It
awful.
Seems like every other Natalie Portman movie is a period piece. Am I wrong about that?
Well, Your Highness was, you know, I mean, that was James Franco and Danny McBride, and it was a wacky medieval pot movie. That's why it's called Your Highness. it's a terrible movie. Terrible movie.
And I'll do one more, and you'll nail this. Ben Affleck.
Oh, boy.
Again, a lot to choose from.
I would say Reindeer Games.
See, I didn't hate that movie, I got to tell you. Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Oh, sure. Of course. You can throw Justice League in there, too.
And even Meryl Streep made the list, by the way. Meryl Streep for Lions for Lambs. I didn't see it. I don't remember it. I'll tell you what I do remember it is that that horrible movie she made where she was singing ABBA songs. What was that movie called? Huh? What was that?
Well, there's a sequel coming out in a few weeks, mm-hmm. The Mamma Mia. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And see the movie. Didn't she do another movie where she was a rock star or something not long ago? Am I making that up?
Yeah. I can't remember the name of it. Jonathan Demme directed it. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the name of it. And it actually wasn't horrible. It was actually pretty good. But
Roseanne? With Roseanne, where she had a giant boil on her face?
It was She-Devil, yeah.
That's the worst movie ever made.
A terrible movie.
Are we kidding?
Terrible movie. Yeah.
The Incredibles 2, Tag, Gotti, Superfly, Hearts Beat Loud, those are all coming out this weekend. What's the best of those, you think?
The only one I've seen is Hearts Beat Loud, which is a really terrific movie. A really wonderful little film with Nick Offerman about, he plays a guy who owns a record store and wants to start a band with his daughter before she goes off to college. And it's a really lovely, lovely film with, you know, Chicago's own Nick Offerman. But out of the big
a guy movie, who I mean, once you know, lived with Nick in the closet. It was like somebody else's apartment and he lived in their closet or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. And and here's what I want you to do, Steve, particularly you. Because I knew Nick back in the theater days in the 90s. He was with the Defiant Theater. I was with the Factory Theater. And we crossed paths many, many times. And I used to see Nick on stage all the time and hang out with him. He had a very particular headshot. And if you Google Nick Offerman headshot and see what pops up, I want you to know that when you see it, he actually went to auditions with it. He went to auditions with this headshot, with his resume on the back of it. And that kind of sums up, if you see it, that sums up Nick Offerman in 2 seconds. So if you Google Nick Offerman headshot, when that thing pops up, realize he used that as his real headshot. And that's why Nick Offerman is not... You see it?
Am I looking at what I think I'm looking at? Some sort of a legend. Well, let's just say a monument in and of itself.
That's it. And I'm not kidding, Steve. He used that as his real headshot.
Kids, don't Google that. Kids, don't Google that. I'm telling you right now. The next Nick movie, Forrest Gump, Tuesday, July 12th, AMC Rosemont 18, he said, as part of Zemeckis Fest. Yeah. Tickets how?
At AMCtheaters.com. And I want to thank everybody for coming out Back to the Future as part of our Zemeckis Fest. It was sold out, Steve, and we had a huge house.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy. That's Nick. He's on the radio tonight, as always. Sponsored by Midwest Laundries. We'll come back with the headlines right after this. 2 days left in the tower. Where? Isn't that the truth? Tomorrow's our last show here?
It is.
How about that? How's the new place? New place good? Still like the new place?
Yeah. It's good.
Spent millions and millions of dollars on this new place.
Not a real enthusiastic endorsement there, Mayor.
You know what's funny I'm wondering how long it's going to take. Because I remember when I first started here, how many times I got lost. Because in the old building, or not the old building, this building, but in the old configuration here on the first floor of the tower, there were these squares. It was like a geometric puzzle when you had to find things. So when you first started WGN, you have to cut through the newsroom to get to the conference room. We cut through the conference room to get to the offices. It's all weird. I go to the new place the other day, and it's fabulous. I mean, you know, look, this company's spending millions of bucks on a brand new facility. So there's your commitment. And we're looking forward to it. But I got lost twice.
Well, there's a lot of aisles, you know.
When you get off the elevator.
And you can go two different ways. Yeah, it is a little confusing.
But there's the elevator, and it feels like you're going in the back door.
But there's also some doors where once you're in the station, you got to make sure you've got your ID because through a door, then you need the ID to get back in.
Vic Vaughn got locked out. Yeah.
I am also pricing a kick scooter to go from the newsroom down to the end of the hall.
I can get you a foot golf golf cart.
Because it's I measured it yesterday. It's a mile. It's actually a mile.
From where?
From the newsroom to the opening bell office.
It's an actual mile. Not.
Have you guys used the massage chairs yet downstairs?
No, but the masseuse is very nice.
I tried it the first day we came to visit. I got a foot massage. It was awesome.
That's
in
why
the chair.
That's why I can't use it, because other people are foot massaging. Can't do it. Every day I get older, I get a little more germ-phobic. Not that your feet aren't lovely, Mary. It's other
people's
feet.
Nobody's touching
I'm
your feet.
About.
It's a chair.
And you have to put on these little
booties.
You
put on the booties, and then you get in, and you stick your feet in.
Everybody's putting the booties on.
Oh, it feels so good on your feet. It's kind of ticklish.
All right.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun.
712, Steve Cochran Show, and my friend Pat Brady is here. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, too.
Standing by is Kelly Cassidy, who I think deserves an awful lot of credit for breaking through in this Me Too movement to talk about what's going on in Springfield. And Kelly Cassidy joins us now. Good morning, Rep. How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We're doing fine. I know you know Mr. Brady. Thanks for coming on the program.
I do. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Kelly. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
All right. So
I've got like 5 whole sips of coffee on board, so it's going to be great.
Oh, you should be fine then. I meant what I said. Thanks. You for having the courage to come forward and talk about this and sort of breaking the ice in Springfield.
Thanks. I got to say it's easier than not talking. The only better situation would be for it to not be happening at all. But, you know, from where I sit, I teach my kids to stand up for themselves and others, and not saying anything isn't an option.
Liu Lang's story came out recently. There's some discussion that needs to continue on that, but the Kevin Quinn and Tim Mapes stuff is pretty awful. Obviously, what happened to you, and women need to be able to have the courage to step forward and say this is happening and know that they're going to get a fair hearing of their grievances and not have to continue to be threatened in whatever way they feel threatened. And I don't know that the system is right yet, is it?
No, not even remotely. The thing that's been most striking to me, you know, in the aftermath of my coming out about what happened, with my other job, and even in talking to folks after Sherry Garrett came forward, is how terrified people still are. I said this right after I spoke out. I couldn't walk 10 feet in the building without someone coming up to me and thanking me for saying what they didn't feel safe saying. Truly, I've talked to staff even since Sherry, who, talk about, a spine of steel. She's amazing. I can't even begin to describe the poise and strength that she showed. And people are still really scared, even seeing that that there was a consequence, that she is being believed. People still are terrified to speak about their experience.
Yeah, and
they are myriad. You know?
And I want men to hear this in particular, because when you hear, well, what are they afraid of? Well, they're afraid of two things. One is losing the career you've chosen and the path you've chosen to work, but secondarily, having your reputation trashed by people in power and affecting not only your integrity and your humility and how you feel about yourself, but also having to explain things to family members when, in fact, you're the victim.
All of the above. And this latest thing where, Kevin Quinn did a, you know, as someone on Capital Facts said, a 14-page, single-spaced confession of his unhealthy obsession with her. You know, I mean, like, those were the rantings of a not stable human, frankly. But they were designed, they pulled up stuff that had nothing to do with this. It was designed to intimidate her and others. And that's just not okay. And, you know, when you say, you know, to men, you know, to explain why women are concerned, you know, this is exactly what has happened in every instance. There's been this questioning of the person's honesty, stability, history. It's outrageous.
The concern that I have, and I'm sure you know this, Kelly Quinn, I'm no fan of Mike Madigan, and I think he's a roadblock in too many ways. But at some point, with his position of power and leadership, you either have to be complicit or clueless. So let's go with clueless. The setup that has been made available to women to be able to report these things only comes after great reporting by the Chicago Tribune, your courage to step forward, and continued courage by Elena Hampton and other women who have stepped up to say the same thing. So how is Mr. Madigan helping when too many of his sentences start with the phrase, "I intend to appoint"?
You know, I'm actually more concerned with the sentence, "I didn't know."
Fair enough, right? Both are problems.
I mean, come on! You know, if you didn't know, you didn't want to know. It's your job to know. You're in charge.
So where do we go with this? Where do we go with this when so many people's political futures are tied to Mr. Madigan and the position he's in?
I don't really know the answer to that. I think the most important thing right now is for more women to feel safe coming forward, to speak their truth, to call it out, you know, what's happened in the past, and begin to call it out as it happens. You know, that's what's key, and it's one of the things I've said several times, you know, since May. I wish I'd said something in February, and I didn't. I didn't because I didn't want Tim to know that he'd gotten under my skin.
Right.
You know, I did it thinking strategically, but I wish that I'd just called it out then. And I don't know what would have been different, to be honest. But I think that's the piece that I've heard so consistently. I just felt like this is what I had to put up with in order to keep my job.
You know, Kelly, you're one of the most independent, strongest people in the legislature. But kind of back to Steve's question, I mean, we know how Springfield works. We know how MAPES worked. I mean, doesn't something have to change? Because you made the point of the accusations towards the victims, you included. And I heard it in the week when you were coming forward, all the things that were being said in the Capitol. I mean, doesn't something have to change down there in the Speaker's office, or this is just going to be more of the same?
A lot has to change, but that's not, you know, everybody says that that's the thing that has to change. Everything has to change. Everything from the what people are willing to put up with, including the bystanders who have watched it happen all these years, the people who have seen the men act inappropriately to young staff people, the people who have heard about it, who, you know, it is not. It's not as simple as, you know, plug and replace. That's not the only answer. This is about fundamental change in the way we do business, professionalizing our workplace.
And absolutely, but don't you think one of the fundamental changes needs to be beyond maybe a change at the top, an independent, completely independent board where when you do have these things do happen to you, you can go to a place and be safe and not worry about the people that are making the decision on what's going to happen with your case or people that actually are working in the Capitol?
100%. And, you know, to be very clear, you know, at the very last minute, at the end of session, the women of the Senate, both parties, pushed through, over the Speaker's strenuous objections, changes to the Legislative Inspector General law to make it easier and slightly more independent, to take away the idea that the Inspector General has to seek permission before entering into an investigation, which still boggles my mind that people were defending that as a necessary component of the law.
That's insane.
So the governor signed it very quickly, and so now there is at least a better path. I'm not saying it's a great path. It's a better path. And so, you know, folks, and I know Sherry Garrett waited until after the law was in effect to file her complaint, and I hope others take advantage of the fact that now there is a more independent approach available, a safer approach for women to know that they can come forward. They don't have to call a press conference like Sherry did. They don't have to step up publicly, although it makes a huge difference when they do. But there is a better path available now by going to the legislative inspector general. She doesn't have to seek permission on sexual harassment cases, although, you know, mind-bogglingly, she still has to seek permission on other categories.
You know, another thing, Kelly said, just the aggressiveness by which the people in the Elena Hampton case, they are defending their actions. Isn't that detrimental to what you're trying to get done?
Absolutely. I mean, the things that we have seen that are about, whether consciously or unconsciously, making it harder, making it more frightening for women to come forward, whether it's, you know, Jack Hines digging dirt on Elena or Kevin Quinn's, you know, crazy diatribe that he filed, or, you know, the other, any of the other visuals we've seen where folks are put in a position of being questioned, or their sanity being questioned, because they came forward.
Yeah, and we hear stuff about, we hear statements as well about, well, you know, that had nothing to do with work. If there's a woman from work that you see in a social setting that you are harassing, threatening, or implying that job favors or job detriment comes with how the next drink goes, that's a problem.
How
and that's
disrespect.
Directly related for work.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. And that's the unfortunate thing, Kelly, is, to, you know, look, there's good news and bad news here. The bad news is, I feel, you can't depend on the men of Springfield. There's nothing that has shown that you can depend on them. The women of Springfield have never had more power. And whether or not this involves removing Mike Madigan, that's, as you said, that's not the big answer, but that's certainly part of it, because you need people in power who have your back, and I don't believe the speaker does.
Well, you know, I will say, you know, and this is no ding on any one of them, but the leaders of the four caucuses are all older white Irish dudes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that doesn't really reflect the reality of the building.
Pat, you paying attention? You older white Irish dude.
I love you, Pat. Really,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah, and that's a fair statement in that they're both parties. The demographics are changing, but right now there's only one of those four where this conduct is coming from, and that may change. But that's my point.
I will say my experience of that kind of conduct has been bipartisan.
Yeah, no, I get it. I spend time. And Kelly, you've always been, you're very courageous in everything you've done. So I get that. And it's not, it is a, I think, though, even in the last 18 months, a lot has changed down there.
You know, I...
It's not enough. I get that. But there is a change in behavior.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that there's been real change. I think that, you know, now there's, like, cringy jokes about, I don't know if I'm allowed to hug you. So maybe there's awareness, right? They're at least mindful that there's something. But I think that, you know, people are probably still getting texted hotel room numbers in the middle of the night.
Well,
I mean,
yeah. Like a booty call between consenting adults is one thing. But
I got no problem with that.
Yeah, but if somebody comes up.
I have gotten hotel rooms texted to me in the middle of the night.
Right. But if somebody.
What's wrong with me? I've never gotten it.
You know?
Well, don't feel bad. Your day will come. But if somebody says to you, I don't even know if I can hug you, that has the ability to make you feel bad. Like you've made them uncomfortable.
Well, you know, that's an awareness thing.
The way it is, it's like, oh, you know, oh, now it's on, I'm supposed to feel badly because you can't, you know, and I'm not saying that they're all gropey and hugging is a problem.
Right.
It's not. That's the point. Like, they're thinking it's about the hugging and not about the, you know, if only you'd have dinner with me or, you know, whatever. I'm trying to think of quotes that it's ridiculous stuff where you're focusing on the wrong stuff, y'all. It's not about the hugs. It's about the fundamental mistreatment of women in that building.
And you need more than the appearance of an HR department, which unbelievably hasn't existed in Springfield. You need actual
impact.
Well,
I don't think any of the caucuses have one, to be fair.
Right.
Which is also mind-boggling that, you know, any, and we'll focus on, you know, Jessica Basham's announcement, which, you know, kudos to Sherry Garrett for bringing that up, because it never even dawned on me, as much as I've been looking at this stuff, that an employer of 200, an employer of that size anywhere in the world without a formal human resources operation, without employee evaluations. I mean, I remember asking somebody when they came to me with concerns about whether they were going to have a problem, and I said, well, how have your employee evaluations been? Like, I haven't had one of those in 10 or more years.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You've got to be kidding me. Like, no, this amazing. Is revolutionary?
We could solve this problem, Kelly, if everybody leaves at 7, goes home.
Yeah, you're talking about a curfew, yeah, a Springfield curfew? Kelly Cassidy, keep up the good work. Just from the view from this chair, and we see a lot, nothing is more mind-numbing to the people of this state than to hear another blue ribbon commission has been set up to examine something which, from our perspective, is clearly wrong. So keep up the good fight. I would appeal to the speaker to do what you never do, and that's take accountability for the mistakes that have been made more than a statement issued by Steve Brown. Come on this show, talk to the newspaper, talk to the TV stations, step up and take responsibility to fix what you say you can fix. And that's all we're asking for. But I appreciate you coming on, and I hope we can do it again.
Thanks so much. Take care.
See you, Kelly Cassidy. All right. We're late, but again, as I always say, for all the right reasons. And again, for all the men listening, you know the line. Don't act like you don't. You do.
Listen to Pat Brady.
A Republican rarity who fought for same-sex marriage rights, yeah. Listen to Pat Brady.
Brady, Brady.
A really big man with ethics, even though he has no height. Yeah. Listen to Pat Brady.
I know he had to rhyme it, but I never understood why he took a short shot at you. You're not a short guy. You're like an average-sized male. What are you, 5'10"?
Almost. It used to be.
5'10 in heels?
Yeah.
Pat Brady's here. We talked to Kelly Cassidy last half hour about what's happening in Springfield. How about the business side of things politically? What's going on?
In Springfield?
Yeah.
I think the governor race is starting to heat up. You're starting to see some ads. And I think in the last couple weeks, the governor's actually had a pretty good role, got the budget done. J.B. Pritzker's kind of been in the fetal position on a lot of things, including the sexual harassment stuff. The most recent, the Mapes allegations, mm-hmm. He came out with a press release saying, oh, Tim Mapes needs to be removed and not fired, just removed and not paid. And then 10 minutes later, Madigan says he's fired. So mm-hmm. He's been very weak on this Me Too movement issue, and I think it's going to hurt him in the long run. And I think the governor's actually had a good couple of weeks. So, but that's probably the biggest news, that the governor's race seems to be picking up steam.
Sandberg, have we asked Pritzker to come in lately? Pritzker's been invited in the past, and we've either gotten no response. I don't even know that we've ever technically gotten a no, but he has actively ducked the program.
He's ducked everything the last two or three weeks. Even the Democrats are starting to. In fact, Greg Hines did an article in Crane's a couple of weeks ago about why do you want to be governor?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would just have one question for him, and I could submit it in writing or just say it over the air. My question is, Mr. Pritzker, how can the population of Illinois be assured that you won't do whatever Mike Madigan says and won't jump this high when he says how high you need to jump?
I think that's the question that a lot of people have, because that's what he's done so far, which to me is kind of odd. He's writing the checks. He's already spent $100 million. And the funny thing about that is there was a poll out this week. I think he's at 36% after spending $100 million. So he's got problems not only.
I know he's got a lot of money, but man, at some point you have to go $100 million for 36%?
Well, and I think even beyond that, I think this is a problem for Democrats here and nationally. I'm sorry, Eric's not here to defend the other side, but they don't have much of a message. I hate Trump or I hate Bruce Rauner is not a message about how we're going to reform the country or reform the state. And that's why, to me, and I said it many, many times, Chris Kennedy probably would have been a better nominee for the Democrats, just because at least he had it.
Oh, there's no question. Issues. There's no question. And until the Democrats get their heads out of their collective butts and realize they're never going to have a better chance to regain a segment of the power they lost over the last several years, they're going to look back at this as the biggest missed opportunity in all of their lifetimes.
And they jumped out of the box. JB did. JB Pritzker, I'm going to raise your taxes. The guy with his own real estate problem, the real estate tax problem here in the city, guy that's rigged his taxes so he didn't have to pay him, wants to raise your taxes. It's a head scratcher as to why they started with that, but that's where they're going right now. But he's not for any of the reforms that a lot of people agree on, that we've talked about for a long time: term limits, redistricting reform, pension reform, reforming how the Medicaid system works. He's not for any of those things
that would keep the state thriving.
Right. And there's no answer. He had
or actually get the state in a direction to eventually thrive again.
How about just getting people from keeping people from leaving?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's not just the city of Chicago. Having said that, you come into the city of Chicago now, and all you see are cranes, which is a very good sign.
You walk from the Union Station up to maybe up to the Hancock Building. It is packed every day with people, new buildings. A lot of people aren't speaking.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We're just talking about the cranes in the city. Deputy Mayor Bob Rifkin on the phone. And let me tell you something. It's not just the cranes, baby. We got an announcement today. Who's coming to town, sir?
Yeah, it's an exciting day for Chicago, Steve. It's Elon Musk is coming to town to announce with the mayor we're going to have a new express service right from downtown at Block 37 to O'Hare. It's going to take 12 minutes.
It'll take slightly longer than that to build it, I'm thinking.
A little bit, but the mayor and Elon Musk are both not patient men, so I probably got to run out after this discussion and start moving on it.
All right, so the company, is the company named specifically the Boring Company?
It is a little ironic, huh? Because it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, yeah. But, there's nothing boring about this project at all.
That's correct. This has been a dream for really generations, and Mayor Emanuel's figured out a way with Elon Musk to actually make it happen.
Now, when this was originally proposed as a possibility, I thought, okay, we're going to save a few minutes to get to O'Hare. We don't have any money. How are we going to spend money on this? But what I understand is the money for this project has been in play for years. There's just been no logical way to start it. Is that accurate?
Well, I'd say what it is it was never clear that somebody could do it at a profit. And what we said is there's not going to be any public money in it, no taxpayer money at all. And we put it out there to the marketplace, and Elon Musk came back and said, I'll do the whole thing on my nickel.
Yeah, which is a big deal. That's a very big deal. All right, so press conference today?
Yes, this afternoon, right in Block 37, which a lot of people haven't seen, that there's a whole structure for a station already there, which Elon Musk is going to connect his tunnel to.
And these are actually pneumatic tubes, and you're going to shove me in one end, and I'm going to end up at O'Hare. Is that how this works?
No, you know, as exciting and new as this is, it really is using pretty traditional technology. There are tunnels such as we already have under the city. We just finished one for drainage purposes up in Albany Park. But it's a basic tunnel, and on the platform on the bottom of the tunnel will allow you to run a Tesla-like vehicle through the tunnel at over 100 miles an hour.
Pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Hey, Bob, can Cochran go first?
Oh, that's the deal. That's the deal. They want me to go first. They need me to go
first. Put him right out front.
Yeah, we'll it depends. If he wants to pay a premium, maybe we'll let him first.
Oh, first listen class. To you. Listen to you. I thought you wanted a guinea pig. It's Deputy Mayor Rifkin. All right, so the announcement comes today. When will ground be broken further?
We think the project could start construction next year.
Okay. This means jobs, I would assume?
Yeah, it'd be jobs in construction, and then we'll have to operate the system.
Okay, and how much of a hassle for traffic or citizenry, such as myself now, while this is being built? Anything?
Not really. The amazing thing about tunneling is you don't know what's going on. It's down underneath the city. You won't feel it. You won't hear it above ground. It doesn't conflict with anything. There's no grade crossings, no interference with other transportation modes. So it's a pretty neat solution.
Pat Brady, any other questions we've missed here?
I just wonder if there'd be any hair plug billboards like there are on Kennedy right now.
Oh, like an Urlacher like billboard right in the tunnel. That's a cool idea.
You will have a captive audience, but it's only for 12 minutes, so I'm sure there'll be some sort of messaging inside the vehicle.
Actually, I'm going to be doing stand-up. I'll just be down there doing stand-up for 12
minutes. How much will this be? What's the ride going to cost if it's going to be a for-profit deal?
It's going to be in the range of $20 to $25, which is a lot cheaper than it currently takes to get there, except by Blue Line. And by the way, you know, Mayor Emanuel's been investing hundreds of millions of dollars in making the Blue Line faster and more efficient. So Blue Line's going to get better too.
Well, it's not like people aren't going to use it, right? The Blue Line's not going away. But this is going to take how long to finish, approximately?
Well, we don't have an exact date. We'll be negotiating the milestones as part of the contract, but it's not going to be too long, a few years.
Yeah, so let's say it's 3 or 4 years. An Uber to O'Hare in 4 years will cost you $10,000.
12 minutes is amazing from O'Hare to downtown.
$20, $25 for 12 minutes to O'Hare, that's pretty impressive. So,
go ahead.
No, you say.
I was going to say, it depends on how you value your time. And, you know, it's, we got options for everybody. $5 for the blue line is pretty good. And, you know, $20-$25 to save 40 minutes or 30 minutes is terrific.
Right. So, or you could rent a divvy. Good luck to you. Mr. Rifkin, thank you.
Thank you, Stephen, Pat.
Appreciate you being on. Deputy Mayor Bob Rifkin, who you must know through your
various... I knew him by his previous jobs. Nice guy. Okay. Real guy. Real smart guy.
Yeah, funny dude. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you...
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
Hollywood. 8:15. It's Moron Entertainment.
Good morning.
Sponsored by, there's the other Warren. Sponsored by
Moron
Brand New Smile
Entertainment.
Dental Implant Center.
Moron Entertainment.
We're gonna need a new jingle. David Spade, Sly Stallone, Wonder Woman, and Dumbo.
All people who were at the giant golf tournament yesterday.
Yes, foot golf. Sorry you missed that, by the way.
It looked like fun. I was looking at the pictures that were posted online at WGNradio.com.
My only concern was the shirt I wore and the photography looked like made me look like I'm a C cup. And as you know, I'm a full A.
I know you've told me many times, hey, my eyes are up here, but sometimes you can't notice.
Look at Dean is a total pro mentioning that gallery at WGN Radio.
You got to remind me 47 times. Dean does it without even being thrown a cookie. At 8:16, unfortunately, we have to start with some really tough news. Elizabeth Brackett had a horrible bike accident. So explain what happened here as far as what we know.
It is awful. From what we know, she is an Uber athlete, which I did not know.
Yeah, triathlon at 50. It was her first time. Pretty crazy.
First of all, she's 76 years old, which I would have never guessed.
No, she looks fabulous.
In a million years. She looks great. She is a world champion triathlete and was out for a bike ride along Lakeshore Drive. Apparently, something happened where she was found unconscious at 39th and Lakeshore Drive. She now has two fractured vertebrae in her neck. She is in a coma, and that's all that is known at this moment. But
do we know what time of day this happened?
I do know. I do not.
Because the obvious follow-up there is, how could people have, you know, not done something to help her? There had to be people that just walked by her.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, people run and bike there at 39th and Lakeshore Drive, but it's not like North Avenue Beach or, you know, the Northside Beach where there's not as much traffic. It's a little less trafficked than the Northside bike paths. So I don't know, you know what.
I don't think they're implying that people didn't help her, but
I am. I'm implying that until I know
they haven't released those details. Yeah, but she was found and they got her.
Steve thinks he's on Chicago tonight, being grilled by.
Well, I just feel terrible thinking that the poor woman had the accident and she was just laying there. So hopefully the first person stopped, and that's not the case.
She retired from Channel 11 Chicago tonight in 2014, but they are issuing the latest information on there. Of course, saying, you know, we're thinking of her family and hoping for full recovery and praying for full recovery. But a nicer person there ever was, incredible reporter, incredible professional, but super nice person as well.
Coming up, the rest of the stuff I already mentioned. And I don't know if Dean had a chance to bring this up, but there is a gallery of photos of us playing foot golf yesterday.
Yep.
And I think there might be a video up there as well. Huh?
The video's not up yet.
Video's not up yet.
But people can wet their whistle with the photos, and then once the video is posted, Dean will let them know.
You want to see a hard-hitting video report, though, of Steve Cochran. As you know, I was there. I don't know if you noticed that I was there, Steve, yesterday at the studio.
Of course I did.
I interviewed Steve. I've never interviewed Steve.
That's true, isn't it? I mean, we've done stuff together, but we've never done a one-on-one thing.
Yeah, I actually interviewed kind of a serious interview with Steve, although he kept trying to pull the train off the track. I kept pulling the train back on the track.
Well, we both got a little melancholy and sappy about this great Tribune Tower.
Yeah, that's what the story's about, and I don't know exactly when the story's going to be on. I think over the weekend on WGN TV.
Well, based on the frenzy in the newsroom, I'm sure they want to get it on any second.
Now, Dean, the mayor had commented when he interviewed Steve that Steve kept trying to do the interview.
Yeah, I do that.
Happening?
That's what we do.
Yeah, I do that.
I don't think he was trying to take control of the interview, but I know when I've been interviewed.
Yeah, it's not comfortable.
It's as the interviewer, your instinct is to take over and control the direction that everything's going.
I don't like people when people ask me questions. I like asking people questions. I don't like answering them. You know, it comes from my old days as a criminal.
That may be where Steve started today's segment off, talking about his bra size, because I did bring that up during.
Yeah, again,
that's
Dean.
My new thing for 2018. All celebrities that I interview now.
Yeah, what's your bra size?
If you are wearing or did wear a bra, what size would it be?
I'm telling you right now, my eyes are up here. It's 8:20, and more coming up in just a second with all the details on those things we just mentioned.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Rick Shirley, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
All right, back to Dean. This is an overmodulated microphone. Oh, there we go. This is more on entertainment.
More on entertainment.
Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implants.
Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center.
Wow, the echo is worse than I thought. I don't even know what this sentence means, but Dean sends me notes before this segment, and here are the three words. New Dumbo footage.
What's not to understand about that?
Well, you don't see a Dumbo story every day, so I thought maybe that was a reference to the video of us playing foot golf yesterday.
That
I don't
was
know what this is.
A note from when I sent, that I sent you back in 1941 when the original movie first came out. That's how long the original Disney Dumbo movie came out, all those years ago.
77 years ago.
And now they're, which is one of the great movies of all time. I still get a little choked up when they take Dumbo's mother away. It's very sad to me.
Well, but there you go, spoiler alert.
Now they are remaking the movie with Tim Burton as the director of it. So,
is he going to make it all creepy?
I don't know. I mean, the trailer that came out yesterday looks very sweet. It does not look overly dark. Dumbo doesn't have fangs or anything like you might expect from Tim Burton, but it looks really cool and very sweet, and you can see it. We've got it up at WGNTV.com. I imagine it's probably also up at WGNRadio.com, where you can also see a gallery of pictures from yesterday's foot golf extravaganza yesterday. Full gallery. Full gallery.
Look at you. What's the Wonder Woman story?
First,
is this about Sandberg, the Wonder Woman story?
I
was on Wonder Woman in 1984.
Of course you were, and still are every single day.
That's right, Dean.
At WGNRadio.com.
Dean is number one on my list right now.
I bet he is.
Favorite people.
Patty Jenkins, who directed the Wonder Woman movie from last year, is also doing the sequel, which we now know is going to be called Wonder Woman 1984. Guess why it's called that?
I don't know why.
It's set in 1984.
Ah!
1984, and she released a couple of pictures yesterday, one of them showing Chris Pine, actor Chris Pine, as the character Steve Trevor. Now, here's your spoiler alert. Steve Trevor died in the first movie.
How are they bringing him back?
So what's he doing in the second movie is what all the fans are
dream
asking.
Sequence.
Why is he there? Is it a dream sequence? Did Wonder Woman tie something up with her magical lasso of...
She lassoed time and she brought him back.
Maybe. Mm. But that's also up on the website if you want to check out a couple of images from the new Wonder Woman movie.
Speaking of being older than 70, Sly Stallone is investigated for what?
This is an alleged sex crime that is said to have taken place in the 1990s. The file was just turned over to the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office because the person making the claim against Sylvester Stallone says that she was sexually assaulted by him then. He's denying it. He said that the two of them had a consensual relationship in the 1980s. So,
statute of limitations question.
Wasted out of statute of limitations. But
do we know why she brought it up now?
We do not.
Okay. And David Spade, the brother-in-law of Kate Spade, is doing what?
Made a $100,000 donation yesterday to an organization, not a suicide hotline kind of organization, but he made it to the National Alliance on Mental Health.
Okay.
He says that more people in America are suffering mental health issues than we know.
That's a true story.
No one should be ashamed to reach out for some help, and he wanted to do his part to raise some awareness of it, but also make a donation in response to his sister-in-law's suicide from last week.
I am going, the raccoon that climbed the building in Minneapolis, St. Paul is on hold, so I got to get to that call. Oh. But before I get to the raccoon, I wanted to tell you the text question of the day is things my parents say that are wrong.
Hmm.
And here's one that I thought you'd enjoy from the 708. When referring to a gyro sandwich, my parents call it a gyro. Let's go get us a gyro.
They're both wrong.
It's not a gyros?
It is neither gyros.
Gyro.
It is neither that nor gyros.
What is it?
Is it
the
a gyros?
The actual correct pronunciation, it's like a soft G sound in the beginning. Gyros.
Gyros.
Like G, like G-Y, almost like G-Y. Gyros.
I don't even hear the G. I hear Y-E-E-R-O-S.
Gyros.
Okay, let me try it again. Gyros.
That's closer, except I think now you have a hernia.
I'm not sure I want to order something that sounds like that. Gyros.
If you have a little funny whistle, that's okay, too. Gyros.
How about 630 says, my mom calls Chick-fil-A Chick-fil-A. I don't know how that's even close. All right, I'll see you later. The raccoon's on the phone. Let me go there now. This is the famous raccoon that climbed the building in St. Paul, Minnesota. Good morning, raccoon.
Hi.
Wow. Raccoon, is this you?
Yeah, this is Ricky. How are you today?
Oh, it's Ricky the raccoon.
Had to be Ricky.
It ain't Ricky the raccoon. I'm a raccoon. My last name is Lutefiska.
Ricky Lutefisk. Gah. All right, so you climbed the building in St. Paul. Why?
Well, you know, every Sunday, it's kind of a romantic story. Every Sunday, I go to the 3M building. They got like 5 dumpsters. No waiting. What am I, stupid? You know? I'm sitting there having a ham sandwich with a side order of having a clue. And I meet this girl, right? Raquel, she's gorgeous. And we fall in love.
You know what's funny about you, Ricky? I've never heard a raccoon sound like he's from Queens who ends up climbing a building in St. Paul.
Okay, you should get on the radio more. So get this. She says, hey, listen, if neither of us is married by Tuesday, now this is Sunday, in the wild we only live like a year and a half.
Sure,
okay?
Sure.
She says, let's meet at the top of the UBS building. I go, I'm there. I got it. My schedule's open. Let's do it. Here's the problem. I get there. What are the odds? My two biggest phobias are stairs and an elevator.
Oh, so actually climbing up outside the building was the right idea for you.
I was fine with that. No fear there. Just elevators and stairs scare the heck out of me. You know what I'm saying?
Now, we were told the authorities had to take you into custody. Are you released on your own recognizance? Raccoon recognizance?
Yeah, but they're so stupid. They drove me up the night. They dropped me off in Mendota.
Oh, they did, man.
I live like 4 blocks away on Boom Island in a co-op.
Mendota is not that close to St. Paul.
Thank God I had a Metro Transit pass. It was still valid. I got back.
Listen, Ricky, I'm glad you're okay. You sound like you're in good spirits. What's the future for you and the other raccoon?
I don't know. I don't know if Raquel Schmidtkins even showed. I didn't see her at the top. I don't know. Next thing I know, I'm in a cage. So next Sunday, 3M building, I got dumpsters.
Ah, sweet. It's a sweet story. It's a sweet story of love and raccoons.
God bless America.
Right, thank you very much. I'm just curious how the raccoon from Queens ended up in St. Paul.
It is a bit odd, isn't it? I want to ask if Ricky knew if, like, they interact with skunks.
Oh, because what happened to you?
Because my dog got skunked.
You probably don't know this if you weren't listening at the top of the show today, but Dave's dog, Ozzy, got skunked for a second time. That's why Dave is no longer Dave Ennett. He's Crocodile Ennett.
That's right.
Man of the Wild. All right, 8:33, still to come on this program. Coach Fitz in just a few minutes. Yeah, believe it or not, there's a little Northwestern football to talk about today.
Yes, there is.
And at the 9 o'clock hour today, a virus hunter. Ooh, is there a pandemic in your future? I hope not, because it'd be mine as well. That's all when we come back on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
What? It's a beautiful, hot summer day.
You know what that means.
Dave, how could that mean football weather?
Because football's right around the corner. And by the way, I have a gift for you from our friends at Northwestern. They asked me to give you that.
Oh, a Northwestern candy bar?
Yeah.
But is this a fundraiser?
You have to open the outer wrapper there. Just the
first time it says Steve Cochran, 7WGN 720.
They spelled it right.
So obviously they were giving these just to me. It's not like they're giving them out promotion to a lot of people. And inside, I've got a white ticket, which qualifies me to two tickets to one of the six choice Northwestern games. How exciting is that?
And see, and the games are on the front of the candy bar.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, you got Duke there, you got Illinois, you got Wisconsin, you got Nebraska, Michigan, and a logo I can't make out.
That's Notre Dame.
Aha. Well, that's a fairly significant.
And the Akron Zips.
Yes. Oh, the Akron Zips. That's exactly right. Well, how exciting is that? You know, it'd be great if we could talk to Coach Fitz right now. Wouldn't that be swell?
It would be great.
If Coach Fitz were available, that'd be great. I almost can hear his voice.
Good morning.
Oh, there he is right there.
How'd you like the awkward pause? Did you like that? That was for you. That was for you, Steve.
You're just hanging me out to dry, weren't you? That's what
no, just
for.
Just wanted to make you think, yeah, maybe he's not there.
You know, honestly, the technical issues we're having, much funnier today than it was yesterday, because we're about to move around the corner to 303 East Wacker. As a matter of fact, you could help us out here. You just moved into beautiful new facilities and new offices. Is there any ghosts in the machine? Anything you found out maybe as a tip to us?
Embrace it. Embrace it. You know, there's going to be good and bad, but for us, there's no bad. So I hope you have nothing but good, like we're fortunate to have.
Yeah, the facility looks great, ours and yours. What's the coolest thing about yours?
Well, location, you know, without a doubt, you know, at this point. We're obviously still working through and getting everything done and finalized before maybe I can answer it specifically about the Walter Athletic Complex or Ryan Fieldhouse, but it's amazing, so...
And today's a big day because single-game tickets go on sale for the 2018 season.
Yeah, it's great. It's exciting times in Evanston, and we're fired up to see how things go. It's going to be a heck of a daunting schedule, but our guys will be up for it and excited about it.
You've made a lot of news lately, and the latest being the commitment by the transfer quarterback from Clemson, Hunter Johnson, who committed to your program this week. How significant is this for you?
Well, Dave, it's always about the young man, and when you can add competitive depth, and Hunter brings that to a position that, as we all know, in our game is critically important, you know, our football program gets better. We've known the family for a long time. I had the privilege of coaching his older brother, Cole, and, you know, when this opportunity presented itself, we obviously were able to get in communication and just talk about opportunity. And as I told Hunter, he's going to have to come here and compete. I really love the quarterbacks we've got, and it's going to be great to watch this unfold. And but we're excited to have him join our football program, to say the least.
Well, they brought him into Clemson as the successor to Deshaun Watson, so the talent speaks for itself there. But it was a relatively short process, it seemed like, to those of us who were following it along. Did the Ryan Fieldhouse, did the new facility factor into his decision, do you think?
You know, Dave, I think everything factors into it. But more importantly, I think it was about trust. It was about familiarity. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that we had to sell. We just had to be honest. And the family had already known about who we are and how we do things here intimately with their oldest son, Cole. So it was just, you know, reconnecting and getting, quite frankly, Hunter around the players. And Quayton Thorson was his host while he was here, and got him around as many of our guys as we could. And you know, it's so easy just to be honest, so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, when you can go, look, this is a nice place to play football, and I have expectations, and you're going to have strong competition, but you're going to have a lot of fun. I think the job gets easier, the sales job at least.
Well, I don't think you have to sell when you just have to be honest. I mean, it's just here, come take a look and get around the guys, and let's see what you think. And And obviously, he feels like he fits in well. So that's exciting.
You mentioned Clayton Thorson. I must get asked two or three times a day. I'm sure you get asked more often. How's he coming along in his progress from knee injury?
Well, he's doing great. You'll see some videos of him probably Saturday at his wedding dancing. He's getting married on Saturday.
Right, I heard that. Yeah.
So we're fired up for he and his family, and it's going to be an exciting weekend for Clayton. But he's doing terrific. Thanks for asking.
Where'd you get him?
I'm not allowed to say that publicly because it's not the wedding yet.
So. Oh, okay. All right. Well, that seems right.
The big announcement last week, the Wrigley Field game against Wisconsin coming up in a couple of years. What kind of reaction have you gotten to that, Pat?
Well, guys are excited. It's uniquely Northwestern, you know, being Chicago's Big Ten team. Now to be, you know, with the Cubs getting the renovations completed, now to get going on the contract that we had and the agreement that we had with the Cubs is exciting. And, you know, our guys are going to get an opportunity to play in one of the iconic venues in sport in the world. And, you know, more good things to come down the road. But it's obviously exciting for our players and for our fans.
Now, look, season tickets, the only way to guarantee you're going to have the best seats at Ryan Field, and they are available, but becoming less and less available each as each time goes by here. But you get season tickets, you got a shot at the Notre Dame game. First meeting between the Wildcats and the Fighting Irish since 1976.
Evanston.
When Dave Ennett was only 47 years old.
Oh, I was not quite that old.
That wasn't even the Dave Ennett broadcast booth then.
No, I was there, though. I was at that game.
Were you a student then?
Yeah, I was.
Do you remember where you were sitting?
No.
Coach Fitz, 76. What were you, five?
18 months.
Wow. That's really annoying. Hey, listen, I love you, and congratulations on all the success so far. Lots of pressure this year, but none you haven't welcomed, and none you guys can't handle, and we can't wait to every minute of Northwestern football broadcast by the great Mr. Cat Dave Ennett right here on your Northwestern station, 720 WGN. So, Coach, have a good time today, and go get those season tickets and those single-game tickets today starting at 9 o'clock.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Look forward to getting on with you this fall, but before that, enjoying the summer. So appreciate you guys. Go Cats. Thanks.
All right,
thanks.
There you go.
There he goes.
He's got a pretty good gig. He works really hard.
He works really hard.
Works really hard, puts a lot of time in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to have a job you love at a place you love,
yep,
that's pretty good.
Yep, and he's got people who support him there. And, you know, I think it's been, and, you know, we're talking about the tickets, but look, this is, and they're calling it the best home schedule in America. How could you get any better than this?
It's pretty great.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, and they own the longest active win streak in Power 5 football with 8 in a row and more to come.
Go
Cats, as he said.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Every time I move, I lose when I look, I'm in. And every time I turn around,
I love this song.
Excuse me, I'm only human. Sometimes I just don't.
Hit me with the horns again.
Yeah.
Bobby Caldwell did not do this song. Remember when I swore Bobby Caldwell did the song? No, it's Luther Vandross. No, it's not. It's Jeffrey Osborne and LTD. All right, I got a bunch of these textures to get to. These are things that your parents said wrong.
I wonder how old Coach Fitz was when this song came out.
I'm trying to think of when this song came out. Was it 82? So is he five? Four or 5 years old?
Yeah, that's my favorite exchange I've ever heard with you and him. How old were you in 76, Fitz?
18 months.
He was 18 months. I was 76. I was 14.
I was born in 76. I just got a Mary Boyle chocolate bar from Northwestern.
Yeah, there you go. All right, look, here's some of the things Mom and Dad say that are wrong. My 82-year-old mom says treadmill for treadmill, but she can do it in 20 minutes. She can do a 20-minute stint. 630, toys for us instead of toys are us. Or now toys for nobody. 563, my wife's German and pronounces Lowe's as Lowe's, sounding out the E like B's. So we're all doing it. If mom does it, we do it. 312, looking for a drink at the end of a day? Well, have yourself an eyeball instead of a highball.
Dave, you're the booze expert on the show. What's a highball?
I don't know. I mean, I know it's
isn't
a cocktail.
It a martini?
I think it's something like that. I know highball glasses are kind of like martini glasses. Mm-hmm. I've never had one. I know you call me the booze expert. I don't know.
You're a booze concierge on the show.
No,
you're a boozy-erge.
I think we have others on the show who can lay claim to that title.
I think boozy-erge is a cool title.
It is a cool title.
I've got a good one that my mother says.
Yeah.
And you know Faye Grzanik. She's been on the show before.
She's a delight.
Lives in southern Illinois. A little bit of a hillbilly.
She's a twin.
She's a delight, not a hillbilly.
She's awesome,
a little bit of a hillbilly. She says tortilla instead of tortilla.
Hey, give me one of them tortillas.
Yeah.
I like those tortillas.
Tortilla.
We used to tell my kids that it was a tomato is coming instead of a tornado. And now, to this day, they still call them tomatoes.
Here comes one of them dangerous tomatoes. Let's see. My mom called Partillos, 630. Every time my mother said in our Chevy, she would sit down and say, I really like that Ford. 619. My wife calls nachos chip plates. 847. My mom calls the internet the interweb. 815, my mother-in-law calls it an umbrella.
Umbrella.
It's actually more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an umbrella, accurate. It's an umbrella. Elk Grove Village with an S. Elk Grove Villages. Man, if you went to the Jewels
and
Elk Grove Villages.
No, I think it's Elks.
Yeah,
Elks Grove
Village, my fault. 847, my folks said the icebox instead of the refrigerator. Oh, yeah, I never heard of refrigerator.
Yeah. It was always the icebox.
Because it was a box with a big block of ice in it. 630, dad born in Italy called Salisbury steak Pillsbury steak. Mm-hmm. 773, my dad calls Culver's culverts. Oh, when they make a concrete at Culver's, is it actually concrete?
My mom calls every discount store Home Goods, even TJ Maxx or Marshall's or anything. So sometimes if you're going to meet her for shopping and she'll say, I'm going to Home Goods, and you actually go to Home Goods and she's at one of the other places. Mm. And she goes, no, I meant the other Home Goods, the one that says Marshall's on the outside.
224, Walgreens is Walgreens. let's see. Instead of diarrhea, it's diarrhea. This is from Grandma. 773, my off the boat from Dublin father would say McDonald's. And Fajita. 847, my ex-mother-in-law used to go to the grocery shopping at the Dominic. 847, my father called condoms conundrums, which may be a conundrum as to whether or not I need one. My aunt says prostrate for prostate. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people do that.
Bagos for bagels. Cheerios for Cheerios. My mother, I just love this one. My mother could never remember Kentucky Fried Chicken, so obviously she called it Uncle Charlie's.
Makes sense.
We finally just decided, well, that's what it is, so we knew what she meant. Several people said, Mom says, why don't you use the texter? Don't text somebody, use the texter. The internets came up again and again, and you don't Google, you gargle.
You gargle.
Yes.
Are you as afraid as I am that our kids are going to text in?
Oh, they already have. I'm just looking for them. I'm just waiting for them to come on.
Okay.
So, you know, my dad is the same age as Dave, and my dad is also fancies the alcohol, like
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But you're a boozy-erge. Dick is a boozologist.
That's true. So yes. He just said, highball glasses are not like martini glasses, Dave. They are tall cylinders.
Okay.
Usually frosted. So.
How could you get that wrong?
I told you I've never had one.
I'm telling
one.
You what, you may not be our boozy heirish for much longer.
That's fine. I think Dick is the new one.
Yeah, Dick definitely is a boozy.
Dick's a boozologist, and we can't afford him. It's 9:02. Hot, everybody at CLTV. We're back in a moment with the news on 720 WGN. Joe played a band called Trampled for Turtles. Turtles for Trampling. What is it called?
Trampled by Turtles.
Trampled by Turtles.
Turtles for Trampling.
Heroes in a half shell. Turtle power.
Jeez.
Come on down the mountain. Come on.
Oh, Lisa, stop pining for your saxophone. I got you another instrument.
What is jug?
Have yourself some vittles. I'll have some, too.
The girl that
let's go
me.
Kill a squirrel. We'll make us some stew.
Lisa, never, ever stop in the middle of a hoedown.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Come. Coming up in a second, buongiorno, y'all. A Bob Collins moment that occurred in this building. Stand by for that. you remember when Bob Collins was in Rome?
In Rome.
Bob didn't like to, you know, take remote broadcast trips, did he?
Not especially, as I recall. Like,
anyway, we'll play the clip.
Disney once in a while. And
we'll play the clip. It's self-explanatory. You were talking about the U.S. Open. Sandberg, you love boats, right?
I love boats.
Tiger Woods' yacht is where he's staying during the U.S. Open. It is, if I have the dimensions right, 155 feet long. That's half a football field. It's a pretty big boat. And reportedly, the price tag was $20 million, not counting the $2 million a year in operating costs, whether he uses it or not.
Now, is this the same yacht he had when he was married to Evelyn?
I don't know the answer to that. I doubt it, because he probably gave her that one.
Sure.
Yeah.
In the divorce.
It has 5 staterooms that accommodate 10 guests, 4 rooms for the crew of 9 required to run the ship, along with an 8-person hot tub. There's also kayaks and onboard scooters that you could use, obviously, on land as well.
Sounds like a great vacation spot.
Now, unless Woods negotiated a discount for the dock he's at, he's paying $1,085 a day to just to dock the boat. I think he can afford it. Docking fees are determined by the size of the boat. Goes for about $7 a foot if you're on Long Island. Bjorn Anderson, who said he's a yacht broker from London. What could that life be like? I'm a yacht broker.
How many do you sell a day?
He said, my assessment is it's a pleasant yacht, pleasant and manageable, far from ostentatious. Well, ostentatious is obnoxious. I don't think it's obnoxious. It's Tiger Woods' yacht. It's cool. Now, having said that, I'm not a boat guy. Are you a boat guy?
You wouldn't enjoy that yacht?
I like going on boats.
I like, maybe if Tiger and I could hit, you know, shots off the back of it.
I like having friends who have boats. Mm-hmm.
I love boating from a pontoon boat to a speedboat to a yacht. Mm-hmm. Though I won't go on a cruise.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
No, but I don't like people that much. So,
you should do a cruise. You should do a cruise once in your life.
Mm-mm.
No, you really should.
I don't think.
Is this the wrong time to tell you the show's going on a cruise?
Now, how come you don't like boating, but you like cruises?
I don't swim. I barely swim well enough to save my life.
What do you
life.
Do on the cruise?
On the cruise, I stay in the room and pout. No, I, you know, you eat. You can go to the casino. You can do other activities on the deck. But I don't like sitting in the sun. And I don't swim.
Well, that seems like you don't need to go to on a cruise to do that. But I don't.
No, all the cruises I've taken. Well, the exception of one. I've taken 4 or 5 cruises, and 4 of the 5 were doing shows on the boat, you know, where we had broadcasts.
The one cruise I have taken in my life, you mentioned Bob Collins. He was on the cruise.
He was.
It was a cruise that WGN Radio put together after the Bears won the Super Bowl in 1985. We did a Bears cruise.
Was it a Bears booze cruise?
It was not a Bears booze cruise, but it was a cruise through the Caribbean. And Bob was on. Bob and Christine were there, and Wayne Larrabee and his wife, and Karen and I. And we had just been married, and it was a wonderful time. It was a great time. But I've been on a cruise since then.
Why is that? It just doesn't happen.
I just haven't had the opportunity. However, on the trip I'm going on to Denmark and Norway with Steve Bertrand Travel in a few weeks, where we have one night on a ship, and then we also have some boats to go up the coast of Norway, which I'm really looking forward to.
I've heard that's really pretty. My big problem with the cruises is that you go to different places and you dock and you have to get off and go see things and then get back on. And
I'm not a
sightseeing excursion kind of person.
Well, but when you're on the cruise, the interesting effect here is when you're on the cruise and you dock somewhere, you have a tremendous instinct to get off the boat. There's no reason to want to stay on the boat. The boats are not cramped. I mean, I've not been on a cruise where I felt like there's too many people. You have to get used to your rooms that you're in, certainly, and the loudest toilet you'll ever hear in your life when you flush. But it's pretty cool to be out on the ocean. And again, I'm not an ocean guy.
Sure.
I'm not a water guy. But it's cool to be out on the ocean, and you know, you open your window or you sit out on your little patio, and there's the ocean.
Our neighbors are on a 3-week cruise right now in Antarctica to see the polar bears.
Wow.
And that actually seems interesting because I don't think there's another way to go see them other than doing it this way.
the polar
bears. I bet Steve Bertrand has a trip to Antarctica. I bet if you ask.
But sure. I'm not going on a cold weather trip until I'm retired, and I'm going on a lot of trips. Because otherwise, right now, I only go on warm weather trips.
No, Antarctica obviously would be an adventure, but I'd like to do an Alaska thing.
I would love that. That's definitely on my list.
And I give Spike Odell a lot of credit, because you remember, when Spike's house burned to the ground, he was on an Alaskan cruise.
Yes.
I believe I'm right about this. Yes. Just a couple of years ago, he went back.
He did.
Yeah.
So. No, I agree with you. That would be a tough call to make after going through that.
So, but at any rate, Tiger Woods' giant yacht is where he's staying. And every time you go by Burnham Harbor or just drive up Lakeshore Drive, I'll take a quick look. But I'd like to know the biggest boat that regularly docks in Chicago.
You know, I know that Mr. Duchessois had one that we used to see down here. It was near Lyle Dean's boat.
That's not an 8-foot fishing boat, I'm guessing.
No, it was not. Now, I don't know if that's the biggest, but it have to be right up there.
Yeah.
Chris Chelios has a really nice boat in the harbor there.
But when we're talking Tiger's money, Tiger's a billionaire.
Yeah, that's the
If
difference.
You're going to have a boat that's worth, what did I say, 20 million?
20 million.
You're going to have a boat that's worth 20 million. You got to have, what, 500-600 million that you're worth? Because you're throwing $2 million away just on the boat. $2 million a year just on upkeep and crew and keeping the boat in the water. If you went on the boat once a month, for the 12 months of the year, for whatever reason, took it out. Hey, it's a weekend. Let's take it out. That's a lot of money. Yeah. 12 times for $20 million. Let's say you go out 10 times. Let's say you go out 20 times. It's $1 million a trip.
One reason why I really like boating, in particular yachts, is because of the thought that goes into how organized everything is, and everything has a spot. You know, because nothing can be loose and
that
stuff
works
like
with your brain,
so
doesn't
in
it?
The bathrooms and the kitchens and things, it's all very...
Nothing gives you more comfort than that.
No, that and airport, airplane galleys, you know, where flight attendants...
Your head would explode on a cruise, because one of the first things you do on a cruise is everybody lines up and you put on life jackets and you do a safety drill. But there's also the lining up of the luggage and the claiming of the luggage, and all the luggage lined up and stuff is a little chaotic. But once you're on the boat... Oh, everything's in its place.
Yeah.
You'd love that.
I do like everything in its place.
Out of curiosity, when you're on a cruise ship, is the bathroom called the bathroom, or is it called the head, which is what it's usually called on a smaller boat?
Yeah, I've heard the crew call it the head. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like to call it the potty. You know, because I'm mature like that.
Yes. The floating executive lounge?
That would work even better. Speaking of travel, here's a moment from all these years at the Tribune Tower. Bob Collins, a little something called from WGN Radio Gold called Bon George. All right, listen.
All the way over to Rome, where Bob Collins is on vacation. Hey, Bob.
Buongiorno, you all.
Easy for you to say.
How are you, Bob? Mad about town?
Well, I don't know. There are a lot of screaming, crazy people here on motor scooters. It's a fascinating place.
And you want your Harley desperately.
I do. I want to mow them all down. That's right.
You're sitting out there going, rawr, rawr, rawr.
But now, do they drive their Harleys on the wrong side of the street over there?
They drive them anywhere they want to.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Sidewalk?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. I mean, you always have to be looking over your shoulder at somebody on a Vespa. Beep, beep, you know. Mm-hmm. Went to an audience yesterday with the Pope. I mean, it wasn't a private... No, it's like 7,000 of us. I mean, it was out in the arena or whatever you call that area outside. Mm-hmm. But the man is old and frail. He sat out in the hot weather. And I mean, it's in the high 80s here, but at least it's humid. Sat out there for like 2.5 hours.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was just amazing.
I bet I'm just imagining that the crowd kind of adds to the electricity of the man. Being up there.
It's truly exciting. It really is exciting. Everybody, El Papa or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Everybody.
You don't want to be struck by lightning in Rome. Come on.
Well, I'm curious. Okay. What time is it there?
It is 8:35 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. That's late for you.
Well, I'm an old fella. I got to slow down.
so you're just ready to board the tour bus, right?
No, we have done the touring. We have been to Salerno and to Pompeii and to Napoli and to Florence and my God, we've Siena. We've been everywhere.
Are you taking pictures too?
Of course not. Oh. We're going to take pictures. What? It's an old building. It's ruined from 2000. Looks like the other one. It's like looking at basilicas. You know, you see one, you've pretty much seen them.
Well, I would be willing to let you bore me, but never mind.
I know you're going to really hate this, but my other line is ringing.
Oh, you are kidding.
Sorry.
It is ringing.
Yeah.
Have your people pick up that phone, please.
My people are in the shower, I think.
Oh, no.
Bob Collins and a trip to Rome. And by the way, in case you missed it, Bob said the Pope, well, they call him El Papa or whatever the hell they call him.
Yeah. That's Bob.
925. And hey, look at this. Right outside the window of 720 WGN is the great Eddie Olchek, looking fabulous. How you doing? Come here. Get on that mic right there. Say hello.
Hi, Steve. David.
You look fabulous.
Eddie.
We're getting there. How you guys doing?
What are you doing downtown?
Just following up with some appointments. So.
Well, good.
Feeling good. I figured I would come by and feel like I'm kind of like at the zoo right now.
Well, we're the ones in the cage. Now, say goodbye to the studio, buddy. Next time you're on the show, we're going to be at the new place around the corner on 303 East Wacker.
So does that mean I'm going to be on the show?
Yeah, yes.
In case somebody pulls the plug at the last second, then you'll call me in for relief.
Consider yourself pre-booked.
All right.
Family good?
Nice. Everybody's great. Good to see you guys.
All right, buddy. See
good
you
later. See
you, Eddie. Eddie Olchek. Looking handsome as ever.
Yeah, it looks great.
Back in a moment with the headlines on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Get up off of that thing and dance to do you better. Get up off of that thing and dance to do. Sing it now. Get up off of that thing and dance to you feel better. Get up off of that thing.
9:31. Dave and I were looking at the U.S. Open scores, and there are some crazy high numbers, and it's only blown at about 15 miles an hour at Shinnecock Hills in New York, so I'm not quite sure why the wheels have come off so early. But if you remember 2004, when Retief Goosen won the U.S. Open, the last time it was played at Shinnecock Hills, they, quote, lost the greens, in particular number 7, where guys were 4, 5, and 6 putting. So I'm not sure if that seems to be the issue so far, but I'll check Twitter out over the next break and see if there's anything in particular percolating there. Because, for instance, Rory McIlroy was, what, 6 over?
Rory McIlroy, 6 over through 7 holes.
That's a Steve Cochran-like number.
You've got a guy, Steve, who's 15 over through 13 holes, Scott Gregory.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a Steve Cochran-like number.
I mean, yeah, I'd take that. But
It's kind of crazy. And the Jordan Spieth problems continue. Yeah. But Jason Day, who was playing pretty well coming in, was he 5 over last time you looked?
He's 5 over.
Crazy. 9:32. Back with the headlines, and Dave will have the rest of the sports as well on 720 WGN. It's 9:34. The texters continue to chime in with things that my parents say that are wrong. I don't know if this is one of his sons, but from the 219. John Williams calls it bucketball instead of basketball.
Yes, he does.
Time for the headlines, sponsored by RiverboatTwilight.com.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I could sing, but I can try for your heart. Our dreams, and they are made out of real things, like a shoebox of photographs with sepia tone loving.
9:42, Bill and Wendy at 10. And Mary Vanderbilt has joined us in studio from the 303 East Wacker location, that's where WGN will be located starting on Monday. Any construction folks running around like chickens with their head cut off?
Oh, my gosh. There's at least 20 engineers over there. Today, I don't recognize anybody. They are working really hard. Equipment everywhere, so be careful.
I appreciate the audience's patience. We've had some significant technical problems that we're trying to juggle while the engineers try to get us transferred from the tower over there. It's a lot of work.
They are working hard. They are.
So thank you for the patience for that. Before we get to our guest, the texters continue to chime in with texts of things my parents say that are wrong. Dunkin' Donuts, 224, Donut Dunker. 708, my dad says yellow instead of hello. Yellow!
Oh,
yellow.
My uncle always did that. Yellow.
I do that, too.
815, you do? Well, at your age. My dad calls Uber Hoover. Hey, you going to take one of those Hoovers?
Oh.
What if you're a Uper? and you're taking you for Hoover.
If you're taking an Uber to the Upper Peninsula, yes. You'd be taking a Uber to a Uber?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uber to a Uber. Yeah, that's good.
224. Mom used to call the bad. Mom used to call the band NXS Inks. Hey, you kids like that Inks, don't you?
Oh, the way it was spelled, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 630, my mom says texting is Tex-Mex. Will you stop Tex-Mexing? A15, my dad always called an eraser a rubber.
Oh, well, better watch that one.
And 312, my 96-year-old grandmother calls Facebook the Spacebook. All you're doing is spending all that time on the Spacebook.
My Spacebook.
That's exactly kind of what it is, really. 944, Mary Vandeveld, wonderful human being as she is, donates a lot of blood. How often do you do that?
Every 8 weeks when you're eligible.
And the reason it's so important, beyond the obvious, is we need an active and full blood supply. It needs to be a capacity if the worst were to happen. And joining us on the phone to talk about this happy topic, but for all the right reasons, is John Hackett. Let me pick this up here. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking the time to allow me to be a part of your show.
Well, this is World Blood Donor Day, and as a doctor and part of the virus hunters at Abbott Labs, explain, you know, what you guys do.
Well, I would just start out in terms of, you know, one of the pressing issues is Mary's a great example of what we need is people stepping up to donate. And today, nearly 60% of blood donations are made by people over 40 years old. And of these, three-quarter come from people over 50. And so blood services have been recognizing over the last number of years that we're sort of seeing in sequential generations fewer and fewer donors. So we really need to get more people donating, particularly young adults, and doing so regularly to ensure that we have the blood we need when it's needed.
Mary, what do you make of that? Why aren't kids doing
it? I don't know, because, John, I find it extremely surprising that in this day and age, young people are more exuberant than ever with community activities and doing things and
doing
volunteering
right
and stepping up. I mean, we have them traveling out to build houses in, you know, different countries and building wells and all these things. And this just is so easy to do in your own country. It's an hour of their time. I don't understand. Is it advertising?
Yeah, Dr. Hackett, is it marketing?
Well, I think part of it is awareness. I mean, coming back again, when you consider that every 2 seconds, someone in the United States needs blood. And I can say, in fact, I'm alive today because somebody donated blood.
What were your circumstances?
Nearly 20 years ago, my family and I were in a serious car accident. I had to undergo multiple surgeries that required multiple blood transfusions. But I look at it as ultimately my family and I were very fortunate. You know, I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for generous blood donors and the excellent medical care that I had received.
How about that?
And that's, you know, really that's why, you know, I'm trying to help get the word out today. You never know when you or someone in your community or your family will need it. And it has to be there, and we need safe blood at that point of time as well.
Let me ask you a stupid question. The youth of this country stepping up would increase the supply. This is going to sound ridiculous, but is there something better about young blood?
Really, blood can be from any age. I mean, today you can donate from 18 years old on, and in fact, if with parental approval in most states from 16 years old. But even Australia, I know there was just a case made about the man with the golden arm who I think had just finished at 81. You know, they sort of say you should no longer donate. So you really can, and I would say overall, I mean, there isn't a fundamental difference between young blood and blood from older adults.
It's a volume thing. It's a volume thing, it's a supply thing.
And is there another way to get the blood besides regular blood? I mean, I've heard of artificial blood. Are you still working on that and is researching that? Has anything been done with that?
Yeah, there certainly is research on artificial blood components. We're still not there. I mean, that's been going on for many years, and the complexity of the components that are in blood make that a challenge. And so, you know, at this point, it really comes down to, you know, people stepping up to donate. And then, you know, from Abbott's perspective, Abbott creates life-changing technology, and an example of that, which I think is very relevant here is that Abbott tests help screen more than 60% of the world's blood supply. There are entire countries whose blood supply, for example, Australia and France, are screened using these tests. So, you know, we need people to donate, and then we need to make sure that the blood that's being donated is safe, you know, for the recipients who will receive it.
John, I've heard that there are health benefits to donating blood, not just that you might need that blood someday, but it actually does your body good to donate. Is that a fact?
To be quite honest, I'm not aware if that is, you know, from a clinical perspective, true. We turn over the blood cells and the components in blood regularly. So I don't know.
Well, it depends on the individual. Some of us are bad blood. Get rid of that. Get the good stuff pumping.
I think the only thing is you do get a little tired. I mean, maybe to me, and I know exactly when I give blood, 2 days later I'm tired. Some people, the next day they're tired. You know, and it just depends. But you're just tired for a little while. And young people have so much energy anyway. You know, it's like it doesn't really affect you. Just keep hydrated. Right, John? Just keep hydrated. Eat properly.
And have a cookie.
Have a cookie. They give you snacks. You know, it's fun. Once in a while you get promotional items, a T-shirt, something, you know, and it's so easy to do. And it's a prick, a little prick.
Yeah, and I think, you know, so much of it is getting into the habit of doing it. You know, when you think it's you know, roughly an hour of your time. I mean, it's really is a simple procedure. And, you know, as you pointed out before, you know, young people, millennials are very engaged, and they're looking for ways to, you know, improve society. And, you know, I mean, what could you do better for an hour of your time, you know, to consider you may be actually saving someone's life, you know, with your donation of blood? I mean, how many opportunities do we have, you know, to really make a difference like that?
And on World Blood Donor Day, there are many blood donor drives going on. We'll get to Mike in just a second here. But, Doctor, before we let you go, pandemic's a scary word. But can you explain, whether in the most frightening terms or not, how important the blood supply would be in the event of a pandemic?
Well, the blood supply, you know, is important. I don't know that, you know, it would depend, I guess, on what the pandemic was. But in reality,
hey, you're the doctor.
We think about natural disasters. I mean, there's, you know, many times when we need to step up, and blood is needed. And it's used for many things. And, you know, in my case, you know, it was an automobile accident. But in reality, blood is used, you know, every day in surgeries, for medical conditions like anemia, hemophilia, for patients receiving cancer treatment, and even for mothers that have difficulty during childbirth. So, you know, one of the things is we have a natural disaster, and, you know, everybody steps up, right? You hear a lot about donating blood. In some ways, it can be almost overwhelming for those blood systems at that point in time. They need it. But the reality is we need it all the time. You know, we have to have it on the shelf. Blood components in some cases, a short half-life. So platelets, for example, that help with clotting blood to stop bleeding, their shelf life's 5 days. Red blood cells that carry oxygen throughout the body, the shelf life is 42 days. So we constantly need, and I know the last time I went in to donate, they actually asked, "Well, are you willing to do platelets, right? Because of your blood type, we're in dire need right now of platelet donation." So there's a variety of different ways you can give blood and blood products, and again, for your listeners who do it regularly, you know, thank you.
Like Mary.
And for, those who aren't, you know, I hope they really consider, you know, stepping up. A difference.
Good luck today, World Blood Donor Day, and good luck always. Dr. John, thanks for the work.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Dr. John Hackett. Now also on the phone is Mike from Hampshire. Let me go there. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm good, thanks. I just wanted to defend the use of today a little bit in the blood donating. I teach at a high school, and we have a blood drive 3 times a year, and we get hundreds of kids that donate blood. I don't know if it's, you know, for their civic duty or the snacks and T-shirts afterwards, but we do get hundreds of kids a few times a year that donate blood. So,
well, I think it's because you're presenting the opportunity, right? The kids will step up if they know the opportunity is there.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Right. There are a lot more blood drives at high schools, which are great. Yeah. It is just tough for people like athletes, you know, because they can't go and practice that day.
Sure.
It's just they have to be careful. So there is a slight population, you know, decrease in that at the high schools.
Right. So instead of excuses not to, let's find reasons to.
Yes.
By the way, according to a study from the Journal of the AMA, researchers found those aged 43 to 61 had fewer heart attacks and strokes when they donated blood every 6 months.
Well, there you go.
Dave.
And Mike, I understand your favorite person on the show is Super Joe. Is that accurate?
He is a nephew of mine. I have quite a few, but yes, he's one of my favorites.
Quite a few. You barely got mentioned, Super Joe. I was trying to
one of his favorites.
Hey, anyway, Mike, continued success to you as well.
My nephew in radio.
There you go. And what do you teach in high school?
I'm a shop teacher.
All right. Well, count your fingers, and we'll talk to you later.
I got them all. Thank
okay,
you.
See you later.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Breaking news. The Attorney General of the state of New York is suing Donald Trump and his children, which in normal circumstances would be just a thunderclap of news. And you hear it now and you go, yeah? And? The Attorney General from New York suing the President of the United States and his children because the Trump Foundation, as was widely reported when it was going on, was illegally funding the Trump campaign. And the Attorney General seeking to dissolve the Trump Foundation. This is the charity foundation where he bought a portrait of himself, or paid for a portrait of himself with charity money.
You can't do that.
You shouldn't.
That's why, hence the illegally part.
That's the part that's illegal. Yeah. So, Bill and Wendy will be here in just a second. Are you here yet?
We're not here yet, no.
Okay, just a second. They'll be here in 720 WG. Tomorrow, last show, Dave.
Last show in the Tribune Tower tomorrow.
Is that for sure?
Well, as sure as anything gets in show business. What are you guys doing today?
Celebrating our second to the last day in the studio here.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Also, a look at, you know, Father's Day, Steve, is Sunday.
Yes, and happy Father's Day.
Yeah, it's Sunday.
Happy Father's Day
to you.
Thank you.
And we will talk about Father's Day with an author of a book called One Day You'll Thank Me about being a dad.
There you go. Ross Cochran.
Your son
will be on the show tomorrow. He'll be a guest DJ on the show tomorrow as a little Father's Day thing for he and I.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. Radio bonding.
Yeah, that's what that is.
That's what that is. And Dave, you'll be
My
here tomorrow?
My son Jeremy will be on with us tomorrow.
You don't have a son named Jeremy.
Is that true?
That he knows of.
Steve, I've been hornswoggled.
Oh, great word.
That's your son's name. Your son's name is Hornswoggle.
The duck just came down.
Henry Hornswoggle.
Mary Vandeville, this is your final moment. Would you like to say goodbye to the tower?
Oh, goodbye, tower. I love you. Yeah, you no, we'll be back.
Not to the tower, we won't.
Well, the tower's still going to be here, but we
I'm not coming back. Once I'm gone, I'm gone.
We can visit the lobby.
I'm going to spit on it after we're done.
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
I wouldn't.
As far as you know.
My son Jeremy did once. And it did not go well for him.
Was that Jeremy Hornswoggle?
Yeah, Jeremy Hornswoggle.
See you tomorrow.